Please do. Awesome. Fantastic. And we should send people like Noe and Andres, people like that, who are less and less going to fit in a campus situation, so they should be starting to do that. Tiani, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. So here's our lesson. It's going to be a fairly short lesson, about 35 minutes, something like that. And it's commitment to the body and to the family. I want to talk about that. This is the kind of thing I would... Merced Christian Church.
That's what I first thought when I said
yeah. And in fact, Milwaukee Church, that'd be MCOC. I was part of the MCOC. Yes.
So were we.
That was MCOC.
Was that it? Yes, you're a baby.
How small was I?
You were
MCOC. This is the Merced Christian Church. Okay, got it? Alright. So, this is the kind of lesson I would, this is a family only thing, which, by the way, just, you know, Garrick and Josh, the way our church has sort of done things for many, many years is we design Sunday morning for everybody to worship God and to bring visitors. Bible talk designed for everybody, visitors, whatever. Typically, Wednesday nights have not been visitor oriented that much. They've been mainly sort of family time. However, for us, other than lately, because no students are around, we have so many visitors, so we don't do our midweek the way I've kind of grown up with. Midweek was primarily family time. Bible study. And so this is a talk for y'all. And I'm almost glad we don't have visitors. Although, hey, you know what? This is Bible. There's nothing wrong with it. But this is for us. Okay? Got it? Oh, did I start the tape? Yes, I did. Okay. I did! After hours and hours of looking and buying another one, I found the original one. So I want to talk about an aspect of lordship that you signed up for when you became a Christian. That aspect of lordship is commitment, devotion to his body, to his church. Okay? So let's start in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. I also found my Bible. Actually, somebody else found it for me. Yeah, thank you. All right. So, the point I'm making, one of the things I'm making is I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are here tonight. Look around. Look around. Who's not here? No. I'm being serious here. It's not time for a joke. All right. Thank you, but look who's not here. That's who this lesson is for. Got it? Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Michael always comes. Zane always comes. Josh almost always comes, but he doesn't have a car and he's 30 minutes away. Garrick always comes. Ken always comes. Okay? And Manny almost always comes, but, you know, he's retiring and he's got a little different situation. All right. Still. Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. Here we go. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church. If we are members of his body, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So what's Paul talking about here?
His wife. The church.
He didn't have a wife. He's not talking about the church. Yes. Correct answer. See, he avoided, that was the trick question, and he gave the right answer. And, by the way, he is talking about husbands and wives. Absolutely he is. There's no question about it. I mean, just look. But it's interesting, because the tricky answer to the tricky question that Michael got is he's talking about the church. So is he using marriage as an illustration for the church? Or is he using the relationship between Jesus and the church as a illustration for marriage? The answer is both, actually. Both, actually. Okay? So let's talk about that. All right? In verse 27, his intention is to present her to himself as a radiant church. Jesus gave up his life so that he could present to God a radiant church. What's that mean to you, a radiant church?
A bright church.
Okay.
The light.
Okay, yeah, good.
Yeah, full of light.
Okay, I'm looking for a little more practical there, radiant, okay? Because the church is not literally going to glow, okay? I'm not saying it's not a right answer, because that's what he said.
Spot or blemish.
Okay.
A church that really tries to follow his teachings.
Okay, good, yeah.
I think it's radiant in the way that it's shining, but it's going to affect those around it.
Right. Think about a radiant bride. Think about a radiant bride. So if you're at a wedding, there's one person who has this out of control smile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know who it is.
Yeah.
And Jesus' intention is to make the church kind of like that. Yeah, radiant, shining, putting out light. But the bride is not literally radiant. She's not literally shining. She's not literally glowing with visible light. But there's just that radiance. Yeah.
I think when I say full of light, it emphasizes on the point that there's no darkness.
Okay, good. Right, pure. And Zane mentioned that as well, right? He used that word. Holy. Clean. Yes. Spick and span, as they say, right? Spick and span. Yeah. And so the point I want to make is, as a disciple of Jesus, I want to help the church to be a radiant church. Okay? And what would that look like?
Going on what Zane was saying, I like how, yeah, the core is definitely just, a lot of energy. But I'd say that once you, even if you come on out, there's still people on the outside that are going, something's going on over there. So that's
right. You want to be at the church, a thing where when people come in, they're like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. Wow. What's going on there? I'm guessing if you go to a wedding of somebody you never met and there's 100 people there, you'll be able to figure out, regardless of the dress she's wearing, who the bride is. They could be wearing jeans and a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And God wants us to be part of making the church like that. I want you to get the picture. All right? Shining, brilliant, pure. And so God wants the Merced Christian Church to be like that. I don't know exactly what that looks like, honestly, but I've got some thoughts anyway. Have you been doing this? Have you been part of making this a radiant church? Okay. So when we come together, what would you be doing if you're a part of trying to make it into a radiant church?
Trying to get other people to come.
Yep. What else?
Encouraging purity in the church.
Yeah.
When visitors come, when visitors come by, you're there to
Yeah, they walk in and they've got somebody greeting them. How's it going? Right? Really caring about them individually, not as a number. Yeah.
To sum it up, I would go back to verse 3.
Verse 3?
3 and 4.
Of Ephesians 5?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay? So you're talking about like a purity, a sexual purity especially. Okay? Impurity or greed. Yeah. Okay, good. I think of a person who comes to a meeting like here, and they're just out of themselves. Who here had a day that was less than stellar? Okay? Yeah. But when you come to church, you kind of, it's not like you put on a fake smile, but fake smiles, but you're just praying about it. You're planning when you're here to encourage. You're not talking about, oh man, did you hear this stuff that, man, I can't believe this thing and this person hasn't been coming. And guys, we need to encourage. True. Yeah. All right, so I want to define the word church. In the English language, the word church has four meanings. One word, church, is capital C, church. This is this esoteric, mystical thing that Jesus died for. This is this entity which is populated by all those people who are part of the body of Christ universal. But you know what? You can't see that church. Okay? So, definition of church number one, I call it church with a capital C. This is the thing that Jesus died for. It's an abstract, esoteric thing that exists. It's composed of all those who are saved. It's the thing you become a member of when you're baptized into Christ. All right? It's the thing that he died for. Every Christian is a part of this church. Okay? Capital C. Second definition of church. By the way, the Bible uses both of these definitions almost 50-50. It's very close. The second definition of church is a local body of believers who worship together, who work together, who submit to the local leadership. All right? This is where the one another passages in the New Testament are put into action. It's in the church, the little C church. So when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, which church was he writing to? Capital C church or little C church? Little C church, right? He's writing to a group of people. Okay. This is the thing that is a city on a hill. Arguably, the church is a city on a hill, but, you know, Matthew 5, city on a hill. That's the church. It's us folks. All right. People are drawn to Jesus, but they're drawn to his church, little C church. We are the visible outpouring of his church. When you're baptized into Christ, you become part of the capital C church, but you also, biblically, need to be a member of a little C church. Every Christian is a member of a local church. So how can we love the church and give ourselves up for her? The capital C church. I'm not sure exactly how to do that. I think Jesus already did that. Job done. Already done. So if we are going to do our equivalent to what Jesus has already done, what Jesus did for the capital C church, if we're going to do that for the little C church, then what would we do? By loving, by giving ourselves to the work of the local church. So the local church we're members of will be presented to God as a radiant church. Okay? So, and God works through the local church. And I think I've noticed a little bit of a weakening of the Merced Christian Church over the last 3, 4, 5 months of conviction about the importance of the little C church. All right? And the people I'm talking about aren't in this room right now. Okay? Because, I don't know, a year ago, everybody went to everything. Okay? A year ago, everybody went to everything. So what happened? What happened? I don't know. But I'm concerned about that. I'm very concerned about that. Okay? Because the church is not going to be a radiant church if the people who are part of it don't even show up on Wednesday night. Heaven forbid that a member of the local church wouldn't even bother to show up on Wednesday night. How could that be? How could that possibly be? I don't understand that. Okay? Are there exceptions? Yes, there are. But I think that's not what's going on here. Okay? I think that's not what's going on here. Like I said, everybody who's here doesn't need this lesson. And everybody who's not here does need this lesson. So I don't know what to do about that. That's kind of how it goes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm concerned that our church needs a little buffing, a little bit shining up. Okay? Yeah. So I'm concerned about that. Hey, we got some people doing awesome and great and loving God and being part of the church just as much as they ever were. And that, amen for that. Okay? But we have some people who honestly, I think their love for Jesus as exemplified in their commitment to his church is less than it was. Okay? I know that from listening to people's conversation. Because even when we are in church, I think people are, there's nothing wrong with talking about, the sports day in Fresno. That's great. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with talking about, whatever, the restaurant we're going to go to that day. But how about talking about Jesus? How about talking about the people we're studying the Bible with? How about talking about what you've been doing in your quiet time? How about talking about your vision for what's going to happen in the church? And how about talking about that kind of stuff? Okay? So that's one symptom I see that I'm a little bit concerned about, because I don't want to be part of that kind of a church, honestly, where it's kind of like you just, just social club, you know what I'm saying? And that's a gross exaggeration to say that we're at that point, but honestly, I think our shine is dimmed a little bit. Okay? Now we got 8 people here tonight, 8 guys, but I think we have about 15 guys who are members of the church, so that means there's 7 that aren't here. Now, a couple of them, I know why they're not here, and it's an excellent reason. Okay? I'm not going to name them, but there's at least 4 people or 5 people that I'm pretty sure just... hanging out with their family or... I don't know what they're doing. Okay? I do not want to be a part of a church like that. I do not want to be a part of a church like that. Absolutely not. Okay? Now, I've said this, especially to students. I say, you know what? Under the discipleship of Jesus, if you're a college student, school comes first. And if you're a member of a family, family comes first. Okay? I believe that. That my commitment to my wife and to my children comes before even the local church here in Merced. I believe that. Okay, but on a daily basis, it's the other way around. On a daily basis, because I can help my family at any time, but when the church meets, I'm going to be here. End of story. Same with school. I mean, the bottom line is, if you are not doing well in school, you don't get involved in a Bible study with somebody. You do well in school. Now, which is more important, your degree or somebody going to heaven? Somebody going to heaven is way more important. And I'm not undermining that. I'm just saying, bottom line is, if you're a student, you do well as a student. Okay? But I'd say the chances that would be a reason to miss a meeting of the church is close to zero. I was in graduate school for 6 years. And I would say the number of church meetings that I missed, less than 3. And I'm telling you, I had a lot harder schedule as a student than any any of you students. I guarantee you, way harder. Way harder. Okay? Because, yeah. All right? So there's exceptions. Okay? For example, I'm just going to be specific. Noe has little kids. And it's kind of hard for him to bring them to midweek. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I get it. But you know what we need to do? We need to, as a church, make sure his kids are taken care of so he can be here midweek. So I'm not, it's us. It's all of us together making it happen. It's right? It's Garrick caring about the fact that for Noe, it's hard to come on Wednesday, and Garrick willing to do something about that. Not just say, gee. All right? And tonight, Francisco has three teenagers he's taking care of. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's why he's not here tonight, you know? Because you know Francisco.
Yeah.
He'd be here. You know him. He'd be here. But maybe that's partly us. Maybe we didn't think, well, gee, what can we do to make sure that that Francisco can come to the midweek? He might even be in San Diego by now. Okay. All right. Well, it's conceivable that his priorities weren't right today, but you know what? I'm not here to talk about individuals. All the individuals I'm going to talk about are ones that I'm praising tonight, all right? The people that I'm worried about, I'm not going to even name them, all right? Every example I'm using is as an attempt to be a positive example, okay? Got it? Yeah, all right? Because it's just inappropriate for me to, yeah, you get it.
He hasn't seen his kid in 6 months.
Yeah. All right. Hebrews 10:22. Wait, I want to present her as a radiant church, right?
Yes.
I want to make sure I've used up this scripture before I go on to the next scripture. Okay. I believe the church here can be a radiant church. It can be a place where when people show up, they go, I've never seen anything like this before.
Yes.
But honestly, I think even now with our slightly reduced luster, I still think we are that. I still think, even now, with our slightly reduced luster from what it needs to be, I still think we're pretty awesome in terms of a place where the Bible's being preached, where people, you know what I'm saying? And we love each other. Even those one who are not here who should be, they love the church and they love being with us. And we're family. And we, you know, so I don't want to exaggerate, but I still say we got a problem. That we got to do something about it. We can't just say, oh, well, you know, we can't do that. We cannot do that.
Amen.
Hebrews 10. Wait, that's right. I'm going to reread this.
Yes.
So love your wives. Yeah, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So I want us to love the church like Christ loved the church. And how much did he love the church?
He died
for her. Okay. How committed are you to building up, taking care of, nurturing, and making this local church, the Merced Christian Church, a radiant church? How committed are you to that? Okay, that's what I'm asking. All right, I'm fairly committed to that. All right, and believe me, it's not because of the money I'm getting, because it's not. By the way, just, you know, I wasn't getting paid much at all, but I just asked Jan to cut my salary even more, just so you know. Because the bottom line, once Malcolm shows up here, I want the paltry income we have right now to pay for him, not for me. All right? Just so you know. All right, paltry, that's a great word, right? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle. All right? And we ought to love the church like that. Right? We should be excited. Now I know that when you get married, there's a honeymoon period, right? That's a natural thing. We have some young Christians who went through that honeymoon period and they're no longer in the honeymoon period. That's normal, by the way. And we can't freak out about that because that's kind of normal. But we have to figure out how to transition from the honeymoon period and yet the church is still radiant. Okay? Yet the church is still radiant. yet we're as devoted as we were during the honeymoon period. I am as devoted to my wife as I was during our honeymoon in the ensuing weeks. Is there the same excitement?
No.
No, come on. Not in that way anyway. But there's a different kind of excitement that runs very, very deep. Okay? So we have to transition, and it's a normal thing. We have a bunch of baby Christians who are transitioning from the, wow, to, you know, that's the normal stuff. By the way, they've done scientific studies, and I guess when people are falling in love, the body releases these things that are also released when you're basically crazy, insane, you know. Because otherwise people would never fall in love. It's just kind of, God created us to fall in love in that way, but we have to transition so that she's still a radiant bride. All right. He who loves his wife loves himself. He who loves the Merced Christian Church loves himself. Okay. Yeah. For members of his body. All right. Hebrews 10:22-25.
Mm-hmm. I see how important it is that he points out that that we don't hate our own body, but also that but they feed and care for the body.
Right. Thank you. So. Right. So on a daily, weekly basis, you're thinking, what can I do in order to make this body be stronger, more radiant, and grow? And I think some of us aren't doing that very much anymore. They're thinking about church for what they can get out of it. Right? And if church becomes what you can get out of it, you're in big trouble, man. You're in big trouble. If that's, is that what Jesus is there for? The church, what he can get out of it? You know, so how much fun he can have, and you know what I'm saying? No. No. Are you kidding? Hebrews 10:22-25.
22?
Hebrews 10, that's correct. 22-25. Oh yeah, here's that slide about capital C church. Oh, by the way, I said there's four definitions of the word church.
Yes.
Definition of church number three is a building that Christians meet in, which that's in the dictionary, but it's not in the Bible. Another definition of church is a larger body, for example, the Lutheran church or the Catholic church or the Episcopalian church. So this is an acknowledged association of local fellowships that kind of work together to cooperate in order to do what Christians do. And that idea is not in the Bible. As Church of Christ, we were taught that that's a bad thing, that we're a non-denominational church, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not convinced that's a bad thing, because we need to have organization in order to make things happen. So we're trying to put together a church planning in Stockton. How's that going to happen unless we're going to cooperate and stuff like that? Anyway. Hebrews 10:22-25, it says, survey says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance through that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for your promise is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's a practical one another kind of thing here. What has God done for us?
A lot.
He has cleansed us of a guilty conscience, and he's washed our sins away. Got it? What's God want from us, therefore, in this passage? Yeah, spur each other on. Spur each other on. To what?
Love and good deeds.
All right?
Maybe you should define spur.
You know what a spur is? Everybody here has been in a discipleship study, so that's that thing that the cowboy uses to kind of, you know, give some encouragement. Spurring is like, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
Why don't you come to midweek? You know, are you committed to Jesus or not? I mean, is commitment to the church optional? You missed Bible talk this week. Oh, you stubbed your toe?
What?
You had a headache? I've heard those two within the last week, by the way. A stub toe is a reason to miss a meeting, and a headache. I've heard both of those.
Unless it's like Johnny's.
I'm sorry, but if I had a broken toe, I would be in church. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. If I had an extremely painful broken toe, I'd be there in church.
Yes, sir.
Ever since I've been a Christian. Come on, give me a break. Now, if that applies to an individual, I apologize to that individual because that's not my point. But seriously? Seriously? You got a broken toe? I mean, really? Jesus gave his life for the church. And you got a headache?
Yeah.
You know? So he wants us to spur each other on and to keep meeting together. So he wants us to do. Why? Because he's a selfish jerk who wants people, you know. No, because he knows it's, in fact, what's the next thing? After he says, spur one another on and don't stop meeting together, what's he talk about next? He talks about falling away. The antidote to falling away is spurring each other on and meeting together. If you're not meeting together, if you're not spurring each other on, guess what's going to happen? People are going to fall away. They're going to go to hell. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm concerned about this. It's not a joke. Okay? So who did you call this week? Who did you remind? I mean, by the way, what I did was after church on Sunday, I thought, who wasn't there? And I called every single one of them. Probably not every single one of them, but nearly. Did you guys do that? Do you do that? You know, Noe's had trouble coming to some stuff, right? And who's called you and encouraged you, Noe?
You.
Me and Manny. Manny is doing it. Mike is doing it. There's people in our body that are not doing it. They don't care about the church. Because there's people that don't show up and they're like, okay, well, hopefully see you next time. Hello? If my wife didn't come home for the night, do you think I'd be concerned about that?
Oh, yeah. Hello.
How about your brother or sister doesn't make it to church? You're like, well, maybe they'll make it next time.
That's on them.
And by the way, people they need to make their own decisions. If they give you a lame excuse, well, encourage them and don't nail them to the wall and crucify them as you wretched person. But don't just say, oh, all right, whatever. You know? I don't know what to say, honestly. Say something. Make sure it's encouraging at the end of that conversation. But it says spur one another on, all right? Does the horse like excited to get spurred? Like, thank you for spurring me?
No.
No.
All
right. Yeah, so like I said, we're developing some bad habits. Yeah.
How do you encourage without nailing them?
I don't have a good answer to that, Garrick, honestly.
That's a great question.
There you go. Are you doing okay? Is there a reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Share with them a scripture to encourage them.
Yeah,
And I need your number. Because I would call you every time you're not.
Yeah.
I always ask Zane.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you call Josh.
Garrick, let's talk about that afterwards. We can give you some advice on that. And it's hard to know how to leave somebody encouraged and yet challenged. People need to be both encouraged and challenged. It's an art, yeah, I agree. Okay? But you know what? There are exceptions, right? But they should be really rare. Alright, so they called me into work. Okay, great. Well, did you ask them, you know, if there's, you know, did you ask for an, you know, well, they put me on the schedule then. Did you tell them that you can't work at that time? Did you tell them that if you're going to keep doing this, you're going to quit? Did you tell them that? Did you just say, well, okay, well, find it. They said that, you know, they just had a shift and, you know. And what about family things? All right. Family comes first, right? So how's that work with church meetings? Well, my family by now knows that if you want me to be there, don't schedule it on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. If you schedule it Wednesday night, Sunday morning, you're saying you don't want me to come. If you don't want me to come, then I guess I won't come. See what I'm saying? Okay. There are exceptions. I'm going to give my own exception. If you disagree with this exception, you go ahead. But my wife and I and our kids had not had a family vacation for over 10 years. All right. So we planned a family vacation in Mexico. And it was on a Sunday. But guess what? We were there online. We were there. You guys met. We were there online. Okay. In my opinion, being online is a terrible substitute for being there. Don't you dare do this. Well, at least I showed up online. Don't you do that. That's a terrible excuse. Yeah. But that's the only Sunday that I've missed church in, I have no idea. You know? Years.
Yes.
And to me, if you think that's not a good enough excuse, you spur me on later on and tell me you think that's kind of lame. Because maybe it was lame. Maybe it was. I don't know. You tell me. Possibly. Okay. How often do I miss church? Well, it's definitely less than once a year. All right. On average. Less than once a year on average. Okay. In fact, I did a version of this lesson in Bakersfield, and I was doing a little accounting. I was thinking, how many Sundays have I missed church in 40-something years? I figure at least five. At least five in 45 years. And I was not working for the church virtually that entire time. Okay. It's probably closer to 10, honestly. It's probably closer to 10. Midweek? I don't ever miss midweek. And believe me, the percentage of showing up did not change by moving here and working for the church. Did not change one iota. Not at all. Okay. Because Jesus died for the church, you know what I'm saying? And I want to make her a radiant church. Can't do it if I'm not showing up. So the way we do it is we plan, Jan and I a couple times a year I'll take her on a weekend away, but we do it Friday night. We're back in church on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. We plan it that way. Come on. Now, once in 10 years, you know, we did that one thing, you know. And by the way, there was a time about 4 years ago where Jan and I were, it was our every five-year thing. So it was 5 years ago, apparently, over 5 years ago. And it was a tour in Israel. And the tour started Sunday afternoon. And so we were in an airplane, you know. So I missed that time, okay. How often do I miss Bible talk? I miss it more often, you know. Like, for example, I'll be teaching for a church somewhere or, you know, something like that. You know what I'm saying? How often have I missed church for being sick? I would say I've missed church for being sick less than three times in 45 years. Less than three times. Okay. Yeah. It was one time in Nigeria, I was in the hospital. All right. I'd say at least twice I've missed church because I was in the hospital. Broken bone? Definitely not. Definitely not. A cold? Definitely not. Whatever. Now, probably that's a little bit ridiculous because I think now with our current thing, you got COVID, you got stuff like that, you got a really bad, it's probably sometimes I should have not gone. You know? But sore back? Extremely sore back, so I couldn't walk. I've been to church like that a number of times where I literally couldn't even walk. Absolutely, I've been to church in that kind of situation. All right? Long, hard day. I've had people say, I was just really, really exhausted. Jesus was exhausted. Do you think he was exhausted when he went to the cross? I think he was really pretty exhausted, but he went to the cross anyway. You know what I'm saying? Last minute family member comes into town. All right? Well, they can wait. Are there exceptions? Yeah. You get to decide. That's up to you. I don't want to make rules. I don't want to make rules. But I'm talking about, you know, what the Bible says about making her a radiant church and about spurring one another on and not missing the meetings of the church. Okay? God can't use you if you're not there. Okay? And by the way, when you show up, make sure you're encouraging. It did say spur one another on, right? It said that. Yeah, but also as encourage, right? Hebrews 10, was that 25? Yeah. Yeah, encouraging one another. By the way, even the word encourage has the implication of, come on, man, let's do it. All right, and notice the next thing he talks about after that is falling away. So this is like an inoculation against falling away. For you and for the people you're encouraging, both. Okay, got it? Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Now, I don't want this to become a legalistic thing, and it easily could. All right? Because I'm telling you right now, your salvation is not based on this. You can miss a church thing here and there and still go to heaven. You can. You know, your salvation is not, you know, you miss 14 midweeks, and then you're going to hell. Because arguably missing midweeks isn't even a sin. Arguably. So I don't want to have some legalistic, you know, and everybody, you know, man, did you hear they missed one? They're jumping on their case and why not? All right. We need to have love. We need to have compassion. But the bottom line is what I'm saying is still true. Jesus died for that church. And he made her a radiant church. All right, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. This is a classic passage that we all know. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Hebrews 3, 12 and 13.
So if it's like this?
Yeah, I keep not forwarding. All right, Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, right? Cleanse us the guilty conscience. He wants to do this for one another on, not forsaking the meeting. Is this too much to ask? Bottom line is, Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Wednesday night, Bible talk. Josh doesn't usually come on Tuesday night Bible talk because he goes to Bible talk on campus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right? We're asking three meetings a week. By the way, we hope you come every Friday. We hope you come every Friday. In fact, honestly, I think you should come every Friday. But we're not saying, look, We're asking you, if you're a member of this church, you show up Sunday morning, Wednesday night in Bible talk. And I hope you come up on Friday as well. In fact, is Zane there every Friday? Of course he's there every Friday.
One Friday.
Oh, whatever.
And it was pretty lame.
All right, whatever. Okay? Yeah. By the way, there's been a couple Fridays I showed up and got it started and went home and I said, I'm going to spend time with my wife because it's a campus event, you know, it's a campus event. They're playing video games. Video games? So again, Friday night remains optional. But I'd say, if you wanted to be a radiant church, wouldn't you be there every Friday night or virtually everyone? You know, there's this rock concert you've been wanting to go to for 37 years. It's on a Friday night. I say, go to the rock concert, okay? Because Friday night, it's a fun event. All right? It's not the same as church, okay? I would not go to a rock concert instead of church ever. Ever. I would not go to a Dodger game instead of church. Ever. Ever. I just wouldn't do it. Okay, if you want to, okay, I'm not making a rule, you know, because if you're in LA, you just go to another one of the regions, you know. I don't want to make a bunch of rules, but I'm talking about, are you devoted to his church? That's what I'm talking about. So if this becomes rules, then I kind of blew it, but not totally. All right. So here's the Hebrews 3:12, right? So it says here, see to it. What's that mean, see to it?
Make sure it happens.
I said we're going to go short tonight. Oh, my goodness. Make sure it happens. See to it what? That none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God.
Brothers and sisters.
Yes. But encourage each other daily as long as it's called today. How long is it called today? Every single day. Every single day. Now, by the way, when I was in Mexico, I did not call you bunch, you guys, and I'm not apologizing for that, because, you know, we need, you know, you're going to be in Philippines. You don't need to call everybody every day, all right? You're in Philippines. Man. It's okay. There's exceptions. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the general rule here. Got it? We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold firmly to our original conviction. And what's, after saying, encourage each other, see to it, encourage each other daily. What does he talk immediately after that? Falling away. It's not an accident that after it says see to it, encourage each other daily, just like in Hebrews 10, the next thing he's talking about is falling away. Because what's going to happen if you don't? People are going to fall away. There's people, our membership list is whatever, 25. Of those 25, some of them are not going to be in heaven unless you do this. Whose fault is it going to be? It's going to be their fault. But maybe you could have prevented it. Okay? Got it? I need encouragement in order to not sin. I need you guys. I need you guys. All right? Call people. Do not send a mean text ever. In fact, don't even count texts as part of encouraging each other. All right, or you could, but really, seriously, a phone call. A phone call. Young people, don't even count texts. Don't even count them. Send them, but don't count them. That you know, take that for what it's worth. You know. All right? Yeah. Matthew 6:31-33 says, see, let's read that one. Okay, I'm not even halfway through my outline. This will be our last scripture though, because I've got other scriptures, but I'm gonna, yeah. Matthew 6. By the way, our little family of churches has read Matthew 6:33 incorrectly. I want to confess that. You young people, you don't even, probably even need to know this, but I'm just gonna confess our sin. Matthew 6:33. The ICOC is not perfect. We've made mistakes, all right? We're not God's answer to every Christian thing that ever happened, all right? We've made some mistakes, and one of them is probably abusing Matthew 6:33 in a way that we really shouldn't have been used exactly. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What we used to teach, and this is like 20 years, this is a long time ago. You weren't even born when we did this, honestly. But we used to teach that the church and the kingdom are the same thing. So we used to teach, seek first his kingdom meant seek first his church. And that is not what the kingdom is. The kingdom is the thing that Jesus, it's those things which have Jesus as king.
Amen.
All right? It's a much bigger thing than just church, all right? So when we say seek first the kingdom, seek first you coming under the lordship of Christ.
Amen.
All right. But nevertheless, although we taught that as if it, that means go to church and, you know, make sure the church, you know, I'm saying that's part of it.
Yes.
Even though we sort of made this scripture be about just a small part of what it's about. One of the things it's about is the church, right? The kingdom is not the church. The church is not the kingdom, but the church is part of the kingdom. All right. And seeking first his kingdom is take care of the church. Yeah, I would say so. So that's part of it. All right. So it says in my notes, has this scripture been taken out of context and misused by a fellowship? Yeah, it has. The kingdom of God is much bigger than the church. Seeing the kingdom is seeking the kingship of God. It's seeking that people come under the lordship of Jesus, whatever that means. All right? It's seeking eternal life for yourself and for others. However, putting the needs of the family of God, local, Merced Christian Church. That falls under that rubric. What do you pray for? How often do you invite people to our church? What needs of our local disciples have you met this week? All right? And when people are not there, do you do anything about that other than just say, sure, hope they come next time? Okay? Those are some questions I wanted to ask. So we were going to go to 1 John 3:1 and et cetera. We're going to skip that. Matthew 6:33. All right, so here you go. 1 John 3:1. So we'll have our discussion, but be a shortened discussion. We're going to spend some time discussing. I think our group is small enough. We can just discuss it. Should we do two smaller groups?
I think one's fine.
One group. Okay. Good. Mike is leaving, so we're down to seven. And Mike, that does not mean that Mike is not,
yes.
He has,
wow.
In fact, I'll tell you this, when Mike was first restored to the church and was working, I told him, please do not come on Wednesday night until your body gets used to, I told him to not come. I said, please, for a few weeks, because it's a long story, but he was not physically in a position where it would have been even a good idea for him to come on Wednesday night. All right? Just so you know. There's exceptions. Right? There's exceptions. All right. So see you, Michael.
Okay, see you, bro.
Do you need to do any reevaluating your priorities as to attending church events? Some people, I think, don't, honestly. I don't think so. So those who said yes, explain your answer.
When we have visitors come over, like we have Francisco Brasil visitors, and granted there's a language barrier, but there's some people here that speak Spanish, and yet I was the only one sitting with them talking to them. Everybody else went their separate ways. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get people to come. For me, it's been hard to get people to come to church. But then when we come, there's an introduction, but that it ends there. The radiance is gone.
So you're talking about not yourself in this case, we're talking about us more broadly.
More broadly.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah. When we were playing volleyball, you know, a whole school of students came by.
Right.
And was playing volleyball. And most of the disciples were doing their own thing.
Right.
Separately.
We should be reaching out to them.
An opportunity.
Yeah.
To be combative physically in the game and spiritually and missed opportunity.
Yeah, good.
I think when we get visitors coming to church to have a game around them instead of the games that we want to play because we're there to serve them. God calls us to wash each other's feet.
Right.
He did that for us. We should do that for the people that are coming to the service so that they could want to come again. They felt welcome.
Good.
Know? And so that's my thinking anyway.
Good. Who else said yes to that question? Anybody else?
A little bit. I think I need to focus in on getting to the Friday things more, for sure.
Okay. And again, as a fellowship of Christians, we ask you to come to as many as you can, but not feel guilty if you don't make it to all of them, okay? Whereas, honestly, if you're missing church, you should probably feel like you're possibly blew it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, good. I agree. But that's going to involve us helping you out with rides, too. Yeah, okay, good. Anybody else? All right, good. Yeah. And there's a balance there. Hey, Jan.
Are you ready for us to come back in?
Give us 3 minutes or so. We're doing our discussion. There's a balance there. I did say family comes first. It's true. At least I think so. Okay.
Yeah.
What can we do to more encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds?
Bible talk.
This kind of ties into my saying yes to number one.
Okay.
I feel like, just as a group, maybe just campus, but like, I feel like right now, we're lacking a lot of like fellowship that just happens organically. Like, I notice this could also just because a lot of us are low on money and like we don't go out and,
yeah.
and do stuff, but we don't always have to spend money. We can just, you know.
Right.
We did go to the gym.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm going to say, I still think that's a strength of ours even now.
Okay.
We used to be ridiculously good at it.
Yeah.
And we're still really good at it, but I don't want to lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our fellowship.
Like just hanging out.
Yeah. It's still strong. You know, we still hang out together.
Just saying like, oh, hey, bro, do you want to do this or do you want
to? Yeah.
Hey, come over to the house. Let's eat. And there's nothing. There's no other motive. It's just like, oh, let's spend time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do talk about spiritual things because that's just what we
do. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I think we're still doing pretty good at that, but we don't want to lose that. Do not want to lose that. That's a strength because that's a sign of a radiant church. That was, when I was in Sacramento, by the way, I did miss our midweek 2 weeks ago. That's because I was at the midweek in Sacramento teaching, but, after midweek, they were hanging out for like, it was an hour and a half or something like that. And I'm like, wow, you guys really love fellowshipping together. Yeah. And we're pretty good at that too, but I think we could be even better. Any other thoughts on encouraging one another towards love and good deeds? Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the 17 people you have coming in, there's bound to be more of them that want to learn more about God. It can't all be on you. You know, it's like we have to brush up on our studies.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when that time comes, we're ready. We could be the, Proverbs 31.
Yeah, one, great.
You know, we're prepared for it.
Yeah, Noah could ask a visitor to study the Bible.
Yeah.
He could do the first two studies and then get somebody in later.
Yeah, yeah.
Garrett could do that. Garrett, you know, maybe feel a little bit insecure about that. You could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Does your love for the body of Christ reflect his love for you? I hope so. I think so. But let's do better.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I know that's going to lead to guilt. So I said, I hope so. I said, I think so. I think everybody here, the answer is yes.
The silence was scary.
Yeah. But honestly, I swear to you, for every person in this room, I think the answer is yes. I really do. But we could do even better, couldn't we? Couldn't we? Amen. That's our lesson. Ladies, come on in. Thanks for putting up with me ranting a little bit tonight.
Thanks. No, that was good. No,
you can do that. That was Monday, good. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, keep Saturday.
What's that? Absolutely. Oh, we didn't give him the study series yet. How many more follow-ups do I have to do with you? We have three more.
Yeah. So I don't have the book yet.
Oh, but it's at the church website. Anyway, you can always do like a, look, we can talk about that later. You could always do it.
I want to say
what Jose. All right. Have you talked to him?
Yeah.
What?
What happened to him coming on Tuesday? Or him studying with us?
Oh, he had work. Yeah.
All right. Keep on.
Months ago. To him, but that's why I asked, like, how do you encourage out?
Find out when he can get with you and get with him.
Yeah.
And if I can't come, then have a little talk. Maybe we could do a Seeking God study. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I just want to know how to study. Because he seems very willing to want to study with me. And like, talk with me about God. Because that's what we do, Seeking God. But I don't know the right way to study. Like the way that you have done with me.
Well, the thing is, we have outlines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have the outlines.
I'll give it to you right now, okay? I'll give you my version. There you go.
Can I have your number?
I'll give you a brand new one when you finish the follow-up studies, okay?
Okay. I'm going to do this with him.
Yeah. This is what you can do with anybody. Super easy.
Sorry, hold on.
Super easy.
That's not true.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even think I did that one with you. Super easy. Yes, Josh. Oh. Yeah, you could do that. You don't need me to be there.
609-600-600.
Yeah, it's an interesting phone number, huh? Yeah. Right here. Am I your ride, Josh? All right, here you go.
Or you want me to give him our ride so you and Jan can hang
out? If you want, that'd be great.
Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, because I could do it.
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay. Yes, Garrick Nandito, share contact with, who needs, wait, who wanted whose phone number? All right, but I'm going to share it with you anyway.
I'm gonna do this with him because he's. I think he told me that he felt. He told me he felt judged.
By me?
Yeah, because when you guys were talking about the stoicism, you remember that conversation?
Tell him I apologize. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, he said he felt judged, and it kind of made him like kind of because he's already not a social guy. He barely started getting social again. Like I'm his first person.
I want a chance to apologize to him. Okay.
Yeah, he will on Sunday. That's the thing. He wants to always come to church. That's what's starting him right now, and that I like that he is willing to go to church. He wants to. I'm really scared and nervous about the Bible studies. I don't really know what to think about it, but I do want to go to church, and I really
right.
love that.
So if he wants to study, if he's intimidated by me, ask Josh to get in the study, or Zane, or somebody like that.
Yeah, I was thinking Zane.
Zane would be great.
Yeah, since Zane doesn't want to study with me, yeah. So that's a good example.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I don't need to be on every study.
But yeah. He just got quiet once I said his
name. They're like, he's in trouble.
But yeah, that's what he told me today. He just said that he felt good. Yeah. I was trying to bring him today. I was like, I'm going to a group study today. Did you want to come? And then he's like, yeah, maybe. And then later he was like, to be honest with you, I just felt judged in that day when I talked about the stoicism.
I'm so sorry. I'm a little surprised, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, sorry for telling that.
Tell him that I really want to apologize for that.
Yeah.
I definitely did not intend to do that, but I don't know what I did.
He did like the Sunday service and
good.
Everything. He enjoyed. He felt very welcomed and appreciated.
Good.
And loved. And
but not by me.
No, he felt that by you too. But it's just that once he started revealing something about himself, that's when he started to then judge.
Yeah.
But I honestly, that's how it is.
I can be intimidating. I can. So Josh.
He got my number, Josh.
I know, but I'm trying to, you know. Good. Great.